way, it's so good to see you this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to dive into the Word of God quickly. My goal today is to preach a message in 20 minutes. How many people think I can do it? We're wasting time right now, so let's go. Father, thanks for the vote of confidence, by the way. Father, thank you for the confidence of your people. And Lord, we just thank you for this time. We just ask that you would bless our time together in the Word this morning. And Lord, we just give you this time, and we just so grateful that we can be in your house this morning. And Father, we love each one that's here, and just speak to our hearts today as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here we go. How many people have a cell phone? You have a clock on there? Time me, okay? Time me. We'll see what happens. Well, first of all, I want to begin each week by just sharing with you our mission. What we've done as a church is we've kind of boiled our mission down to three words. The mission is, why do we exist as a church? We can never forget there's three reasons why we exist. Number one, to believe. We want every person to believe in Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we want every person to believe in Jesus. Number two, we want to encourage people to bring people to church, bring people to Jesus. That's very, very important. The national statistics right now are only 2% of people, church people, are inviting people to church. And we need to change that. Do you agree with that? We need to change that. I don't know about you, but when I find something that I really like to eat, a new restaurant, you know, one of the first things I want to do is I want to share it with other people. Man, when I found Cane's for the first time, I was telling everybody, you got to go to Cane's. You got to go to Cane's. Or if I see a good movie, I say, man, you need to go see. And this last Tuesday night, Heather and I went and saw Little Women. It was awesome. Well, it was kind of awesome. I say that for her. But it was her choice, okay? So anyway, isn't it amazing when we find something that we like, we want to tell other people about it? Isn't that the truth? How many people know we have the answer for everything in Jesus Christ? Amen? And we need to be excited about it, telling people about it, bringing people, saying, hey, come to church, come to Jesus, let's go. And the third thing, the third B in our mission is we want to see each person become more like Jesus, meaning after they say yes to Jesus, you're on this lifelong journey of becoming more and more like Jesus. That's what I love about serving Jesus. Among many things, one of the things I love is the fact that you never reach your final destination until you see Jesus face to face. We're always in this growth spurt. We're always pushing in. We're always getting more. There's always more to be had as we're in this relationship with Jesus. So I don't want us to ever be satisfied with where we're at. Let's keep growing and let's become more like Jesus, okay? Well, this morning what I want to do is I want to touch on a subject. I want to look at a subject that I've not talked about in the 19 years that I've been the pastor of this church. And I actually want to begin today by, can I give a public apology for that fact that I've never talked about this subject? And I think I've missed something super important, something big that we need to talk about. So today I want to talk about a word that people aren't going to stand up and applaud and get excited about when I mention what we're going to talk about, but I want to let you know this is a word that's very, very necessary. It's a word necessary for you as you want to grow. It's a word necessary for us as a church as we want to grow. And the word I want to talk about this morning is this word right here. We're going to talk about, everybody say that together with me, fasting. How many people just reach for their stomach real quick? Oh, fasting, okay? So we're going to talk about fasting. So here's my approach. For the past several weeks, I've been just gathering information. Actually, even last Sunday, somebody sent me a link to another sermon by a guy out in Montana named Levi Lusco. And the person said, you need to listen to this sermon. Levi talked about fasting. And actually, I listened to the sermon two or three times this week. It was that good. And then I've been doing a lot of reading. So here's my approach this morning, is to take this, all this information that I've taken in, and I'm going to boil it down to some of the simplest thoughts so that we can all dive in and understand fasting. So here's my approach. I'm just going to throw out information, and then we'll apply it here at the end. So first of all, I want to begin by asking the question, is fasting in the Bible? You know, people will say, hey, is fasting in the Bible? And I want to say, absolutely, fasting's in the Bible. We see fasting in the Old Testament. We see fasting in the New Testament. We see fasting, a reference to fasting, over 50 times throughout the entire Bible. It's very, very important. It's so important that just before Jesus began his public ministry, this is what he did. He went out into the wilderness, and you know what he did? He fasted. Look at it. It says right here in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. He went into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil." Verse 2, "For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus fasted," and I love this add-on. Guess what? He became hungry. How many people say, no kidding? He became hungry. But I love that, because what that shows us is that shows us the humanity of Jesus, that he's fully God, yet he's fully man. He had human urges. He became hungry. But we see Jesus, before he's about to launch into his ministry, he says, hey guys, it's so important that I'm going to go out and fast. So not only did Jesus fast, I want to let you know that Jesus gave some direction for us when we fast, and that direction is found in the biggest sermon in the scripture. It's called the Sermon of the Mount, which is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in chapter 6, Jesus talks about fasting. And I just want to look at this real quick. Let's look at it right here. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus says, "And when," everybody say that word together, please, "when." So it's not the word "if," it's the word "when." So what Jesus is doing here, he's assuming that if you're a follower of me, you're going to do things that I do. This is an assumption that this is what Jesus people do, is they fast. So he says, when you fast, hey, don't go out and make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fast. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they'll ever get. Verse 17, Jesus says, but when you fast, some real practical things, folks, comb your hair, wash your face, brush your teeth, carry a breath mint, whatever you need to do. When you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting. The point is, you don't want people to know. He's saying, this is between you and God, except your Father who knows. What you'll do is in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. So Jesus is saying, hey, when you go to fast, you know, don't try to make it look spiritual and, oh, woe is me. Everybody, look, I'm such a spiritual giant. I'm miserable. I'm fasting. Jesus is saying, hey, no, comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. Don't make this something that everybody needs to know about. You don't have to post it on Facebook or Instagram and say, hey, everybody, on Tuesday, I'm fasting all day. Check me out. Aren't I special? That's not the point, okay? Is everybody with me this morning? The point is, this is really a time where you get with God and you do some serious business, okay? So Jesus not only fasted, but he gave us some instructions on how to fast, and we're going to be rewarded for doing it. So now that we know that it's in the scripture, let's talk about what it is. What is fasting? And really what we're asking is, what is biblical fasting? What is the fasting that we see in scripture? We're not talking about a fast that you're told in a doctor's office or for health reason. We're talking about for biblical reasons, okay? That's what we're talking about this morning. And in my studies, you do a lot of reading, and there's a lot of different definitions of people defining what fasting is. But in the sermon that I listened to by Levi Lusco, he came up with one of the greatest definitions of fasting, which for me, I connected to instantly. I thought it was like, wow, I can get that. So I want to share it with you. This is what Levi Lusco says about fasting. He says, fasting is giving up what you want. And then I added in parentheses, for a designated period of time. So fasting is giving up what you want for what you need. So it's giving up what you want for what you need. There's this period of time where you say, okay, God, I'm going to give up what I want for this period of time. It could be a day. It could be 3 days. It could be a week. Some people have gotten radical and gone 40 days. I'm not recommending that unless you're really directed by the Holy Spirit. But for that time, you say, I'm going to give up what I want for what I need. So what is it you want? Well, when you're fasting, I want to let you know what you want. You want food, don't you? You want to go down to Culver's and you want to go order a double cheddar butter burger basket. You know, that's what you want. And by the way, add the cheese and yes to the question, yes, I want bacon. And yes, make it a meal. I want fries too. And yes, I'll even have a couple Mountain Dews in the process. When I'm fasting and I'm going without, my stomach begins to make some noise and begins to move. That's what I want, okay? But the big idea in fasting is we're willing to give up something that we want. And the reason why we're willing to give up something we want is because there's something that we need that is greater than what we want. Does everybody get that this morning? I want to say that one more time. The reason why we're willing to give up something that we want is because the need for something else in our life is greater. So right now, Lord, for the next couple days, I'm going to give up what I want. My flesh wants it bad. My flesh is crying out. My flesh wants to eat. I want to just dive into anything. I just want to just get my hands on food. But right now, I'm going to deny myself of that want because there's something in my life, there's a need in my life that's so great that it trumps what I want. Is that making sense this morning? Is everybody tracking with me? So that need may include, you may be somebody today and you need a healing. Maybe you need a physical healing. Maybe you need an emotional healing. Your need may be, God, I need deliverance in my life. There's this addiction in my life. There's something that's ruling and reigning in my life. God, I need deliverance. And God, that's my need. Your need may be that you're right now, you're in the midst of a season where you need to make a big decision. And you're going to need some wisdom. And you're going to need some guidance. And that need is greater than what you want. That need is, God, I got to get to you, God. I got to get with you, God. I need to get your mindset, your thoughts. Your need may be God's provision. There may be an area right now where you need God to provide. And you're calling out and you're saying, God, I need you in this area of my life. God, please, I need. That need is greater than what my flesh wants for this season. That need may be a special grace that you need to handle a difficult situation that you're in, maybe a difficult person, and you need a special grace. You may need a breakthrough. You may need a resolution to a problem. I think you're catching on. It could be 1,010 different things, needs, needs, needs. But what you realize in your life that is, I have this need that is so great that I'm willing for a season, a designated period of time, I'm willing to say no to what I want because as I come, I want to get into the presence of God. And God, what I need more than anything is I need you. I need you. And here's the thing. Each one of us has needs. You have needs. I have needs. We all have needs. But I want to let you know that there's one person that can meet all of our needs. There's one that can meet each and every one of our needs. And his name is Jehovah Jireh. Has anybody ever heard that name before? Jehovah Jireh? That's a name that who? Abraham gave to God. We just read the story this week in our Bible reading plan. I think it's Genesis chapter 22. Remember the story? God gave Sarah and Abraham a son named Isaac. God said, now take Isaac and take him and kill him on the altar as a sacrifice. And what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. And him and Isaac went up to a journey and they went up to the mountain. And Abraham tied Isaac to the altar. And he'd had his hand raised with his knife in his hand where he was ready to kill the promised son, the one that was going to be the inheritance. And just about the time he was ready to kill his own son on the altar, the angel from heaven cried, stop, or God cried, stop, don't do it, Moses. And then it says in that story that Moses turned around and he looked in the distance and there was a bush. And stuck in that bush, there was a ram caught in the scripture says the thicket. The ram was caught in the thicket. And what Abraham did is he went and he took the ram and he took the son off the altar and he put the ram on the altar. And it was at that moment that Abraham said this about God. Abraham gave God this name, Jehovah Jireh, which means this, the Lord who provides. What a great story. The Lord provides. And I just want to assure you this morning that if you're in a need in your life, whatever the need may be, emotional, physical, financial, relationships, whatever your need may be, there's a God in heaven. His name is Jehovah Jireh, and he is the Lord who provides for us where we are today here in 2020. God provides all of our needs. So fasting is when you give up what you want for this period of time for what you need. And really, folks, what we ultimately need more than anything is we ultimately need more of God. We need to say, God, I come to you, for all of my needs are met in you. And one of the ways that we can give ourselves more of God, it's actually we're giving more of ourselves to God is really the right way to say it. And one of the ways that we do that is through this process called fasting, where we're willing to say, God, I'm willing to give up my greatest physical need, food. Because, God, I have a need. I have an issue. And, God, I need to get with you. I need to just amp it up a little. God, I need to jack it up just a little more. And, God, I need to get to you. I need to get into your presence. So that's what fasting is. It's basically saying, God, I will give up what I want so that I can get what I need. And what we need more than anything is God and his provision for everything that goes on in our lives today. So how do we go about this? This is where we're going to get super practical quickly, practical steps of how to fast. When you're fasting, and you should probably write some of these things down. First of all, set your objective. Set your objective. You need to, before you even start to fast, you need to ask yourself this question, why am I going to fast? Why am I going to go on this endeavor? What is it that I need? And we went through the list. You may need wisdom. You may need guidance. You may need a resolution to a problem. You may need healing. Your teenager might be running from God, and you may need to say, God, it's time for me to get serious about this. There may be some problems, and it could be 1,000 different things, but before you start your fast, you need to come up to with the objective, why am I about ready to start this fast? Maybe it's in your family, whatever it may be. So you need to settle that from the beginning. Why am I going on this journey, okay? And what that will do for you is this will enable you to pray more specifically and strategically. So during your fast, you're saying, this is why. I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for my son who's going through a challenging season in his life right now. This is what my fast is about. I'm going to get with God, and God and I are really going to get into a place, and we're going to talk about my son, and we're going to ask God for help. We're going to do amazing, amazing things, okay? I do want to throw in a side note real quick. This wasn't in my notes, but it keeps coming to my mind, so it must need to be said. Fasting always goes with prayer. Prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting. You'll see those, they're the dynamic duo in Scripture. Prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting. I heard someone the other day say it this way, prayer is how we strengthen our connection with God. Then he said this, fasting is how we weaken our connection with the world. So we strengthen our connection with God through prayer. We weaken our connection with the world who's always pulling at us, pulling at us, pulling at us. And we weaken that connection when we fast. So those two always go together. So, but first of all, you got to make this, what's the objective? Why are you going to take the next day, 2 days, miss a meal? What's your objective? Then the second thing is you need to make your commitment. Make your commitment. You need to, before you fast, pray about what kind of fast you're going to have, okay? What kind of fast? And we're going to talk about two types of fasting real quick. First type of fast is this fasting from food. That's really what we see throughout the Scripture. People were fasting from food. But even with food, there's several ways that you can fast. Number one, there's something we call the regular fast. And a regular fast is what consists of when we abstain from all food and all beverages except for water. So a regular fast, you're going without all food. You're going without all drink. The only thing you're doing is you're drinking water. That's a regular fast. A partial fast is when you abstain from a particular type of food. So I'm going to fast, and for the next day, I'm not going to eat any meat. I'm not going to eat this. And that's really what we see in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, when he was in Babylon, we see that he had what we call today, have you ever heard this phrase before? It's called a Daniel fast. And when people do a Daniel fast, all they do is they eat fruit, they eat vegetables, but they don't eat the heavy food. So a lot of people will do that, and they can do it for an extended period of time. You're eating fruit, you're eating vegetables, you're eating like nuts. You're becoming like a squirrel, okay? So that's that type of fast. That's what Daniel did. Okay, and then there's a liquid fast, which means you abstain from food, but you can drink liquids. You can have water. You can have juice. Those are the type of fasts right now. There's somebody in our family right now, they just got done with like a 2 or 3 day fast where all they did was they just drank juices and water because they had an issue in their life they wanted to take care of with God. So that would be just a liquid fast. Then there's a complete fast that's very, you need to make sure you check with your doctor. Is everybody hearing me this morning? And this, you really need to make sure you check with your doctor, and that is when you get rid of everything, all food, all liquids. And we read about this in the book of Ezra. We read about this in the book of Esther. We read about this in the book of Acts, where people just gave up everything. You need to be very careful. You need to check with your physician, because some of you aren't in the position where you can go through that type of thing. Is everybody with me this morning? So don't become running to me and say, Mike, you told me that. No, I'm not telling you to do that, okay? All these, I want to recommend that first of all, you get with God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because there's some people right now that in your medical condition of a fast from food would probably not be very wise for you to do. Which leads me to our second type of fast. And it's not a fast that you see in the scripture a lot, but it's a fast that you're seeing in the generation that we're living in a lot. And that is what you would call a media fast. People are fasting from TV, from the consumption of TV. They're fasting from movies, and they're fasting from social media. Social media fast, I'm not sure if you've heard this or not, they are becoming more and more popular, social media fast. And you say, well, Mike, why is that so big? Because this week I read an article, and I want you to listen to the facts of this article real quick. The average person touches their phone 2,617 times a day. The average person is touching their phone 2,617 times a day. A heavy user is touching their phone over 5,400 times a day. So their phone is a big part of their life. Actually, just had a gentleman come and talk to us about the different generations and the different differences, the differences in generations. And right now, our young people are part of Gen Z. And do you know this about Gen Z? They consider their phone just as important as food and water. They would rather you take away a beverage and food, but make sure you don't take away my phone. So that's why these fasts are very important, because these social media, it can become very consuming of our life, of our time. And what would happen if we would just stop for a day and say, God, I'm not going to use any social media. And during that time, I'm going to put that time upon you. Another thing that that does is that weakens our signal. All the social media weakens our signal with God. We're so caught up about seeing who sent me that text or who's posting on Instagram or Facebook, and there's this actual adrenaline rush that comes into our life. And I tell you what, that we need to be very careful living in this generation that we don't allow those things to weaken the signal with God, to weaken us from hearing God's voice, feeling the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. Are we all in this together? Yes, we are, okay? So you need to just decide what type of fast are you going to go on. And then the second part of that is you need to decide, there's point one, type of fast. Point two is simply decide how long you're going to fast. You can fast one meal. You can say, okay, this week on Wednesday, I'm going to fast lunch. Or you can fast one day. You can fast a week. You can fast for several weeks. But the point is you need to determine this before you start the fast, before you even begin, get with God and say, God, what would you have me to do? This is very, very important, okay? And then this is step three in our final step. How am I doing on time here this morning? Do I still have about 7 minutes? No, I didn't think so. Here's what you need to do. This is a very important part of fasting, is you plan what you're going to do during the fast. I want to say this loud and clear. Fasting is not a diet. I'm going to fast for 3 days and see how much weight I lose. Well, that's not spiritual fasting. That's called miserable. It's called miserable. It's called, I don't want to do that. No, you need to decide what you're going to do in your fast. It's not about self-deprivation. It's not a diet. It's a time where we answer this question. Here's the question. Instead of eating, instead of being on social media, this is what I'm going to do. So instead of eating, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. Instead of eating, I'm going to spend more time meditating on God's word. Instead of eating, I'm going to serve other people. So this is what I think it would look like, very practical. Say you say, I'm going to fast lunch. You need to come up with a plan. The plan is you probably don't want to go sit in your company's cafeteria with everybody and just look like you're miserable and everybody asking, why aren't you eating? You might want to say, hey, my plan is during lunch hour, I'm going to run out to the car When I'm out in the car, I'm going to get into God's word. When I'm out in the car, I'm going to pray. So we need to have a plan, because it's not just about abstaining for these things to see how strong you can be. It's about replacement. During that time, you're upping your prayer life. You're upping your devotional life. You're upping your time of meditation. Why? But the whole point is, God, I'm willing to give stop this so that I can get my need met, that I can get into your presence. See, it's all about getting closer to God through this fast. It's not just about missing out on a couple meals. It's about, God, I want to get with you. I have something I need to get to you. It's so urgent. So in review, fasting is when we give up something that we really want for a season. In the flesh, we're going to give it up so that we can go to God for what we need. I'm going to give this up for what I need, because there's a need in my life and I really need to up the energy, up the level. And I need to get with God, because only God can meet this need. And it's urgent. It's impacting my life. It's impacting other people's lives. And I need to get with God. So I'm willing to deny my flesh. I'm willing to say no to the flesh desires, the hunger, the appetites. I'm willing to say no to picking up my phone every 15 seconds. And I'm willing to say, God, what I need from you is greater than what I want. Did that make sense this morning? I sure hope it did. If you said no, I'd have to start all over. So did that make sense this morning? And everybody said, it was as clear as a whistle, right? So here's what we're doing. When you came in this morning, you got the, can somebody hand me one of these? Oh, it's up there in the front pew. Here's why we're doing this. When you came in this morning, you got this regular piece of paper. It's a double-sided sword this morning, and it's an information sheet, but it's also a prayer guide. First of all, I want to draw your attention to this week is what we're calling first week, meaning the first week of every month. We're going to do this. We're going to pray as a church, and the church will be open every day from 7 to 7. We're going to pray, but on Thursday, we're going to come together. And we're going to have a prayer meeting, corporate prayer meeting, from 6 o'clock to 7 on Thursday. We're going to do that the first week of every month this year. We're just going to believe God wants to do greater things. But I believe if we're going to see God do all that he wants to do, it's going to take some people giving up what they want in order for us to experience what we need the most, and that is God in his presence. Amen? So we're going to make that the first week of every month. And on Thursday, we're going to come together. We're going to pray. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to just have a light meal like soup and sandwiches, because I just want to encourage some people. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to encourage some people on that first Thursday. Will you consider fasting with us? Will you consider maybe for a day, or maybe you're starting and this is a new journey? Would you consider saying, I'm going to fast lunch? I'm willing to give up lunch for what I need. And in this case, it would be for what we need as a church. And that is that we need the fullness of what God has for us. And then you look to the backside, there's a prayer guide, because in our week of prayer and in replace in our fasting time, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for five things this week. We're going to pray for the future of our Wednesday night programs, evening meals. We're going to pray for the women and men's ministry. We're going to pray that our mission will not only be words, but that it will take off, will believe, bring, and become. There'll be greater momentum, greater strength. We're going to pray for the effective reach to the next generation. It's just been brought to my attention this week that we need to give better, greater detail to the next generation, because we're not going to be here forever. And we need to be concerned about the next generation. How are we doing as a church in preparing the next generation to carry the torch? We want to pray about that. And then we want to pray to be our mission-minded church, where we're a church that we believe in missions around the world, not just in here, but around the world. So I want to encourage you, the church will be open throughout the week. I want to encourage you, will you take this prayer list? Will you pray through these five things? I want to encourage you, will you come together on Thursday night, and will you pray for us as a church body, and we'll pray together. But I also want to encourage you, will you consider fasting? I want to let you know, I have a very poor track record for fasting. I've been a Christian for a long time, since fifth grade. And I just want to just confess to you, it wasn't until last summer that I went on my first, it actually turned out to be like a 36-hour fast. And even during that time, sometimes it was almost about just trying to make it through. It's not just about trying to make it through, can I do this? It's about, God, I'm going to direct all my attention towards you. God, this is what I want, but this what I need is greater. And I just want to encourage us. This is the power. This is like taking prayer to a different level. When you put prayer and fasting together, it's just like the dynamic duo, okay? And God wants to do some amazing things. But there are things in Scripture that people could not accomplish. And Jesus said it's only by prayer and fasting that you're going to be able to carry those things out. So there's a special prayer. There's a special power in fasting. And I love how Levi Lusco said it. He said, it's not by mistake that it's called fast. The word fast is in fasting, meaning this is one of the ways you can speed up your spiritual process. This is how you can become faster in your walk with God. This is how you can do it. This is one of the vehicles, is through fasting. So we're going to pray. We're going to strengthen our connection with God. And then we're going to fast because we want to weaken our connection to this world that is always pulling at us, pulling at us, pulling at us. And we're going to get after it. And we're going to believe that God rewards when he sees people fasting. Amen? Amen. So take this week. And I think it was, what, 24 minutes? 31? Oh, my goodness.